You're listening to The Word from Westwood, a series of podcasts featuring sermons preached at Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles, California.
Who here doesn't like getting a Christmas gift? Something that's wrapped up with sparkling paper and it has a beautiful bow. And thinking about that moment when you're holding that package and you're wondering, what's inside? What's inside? What's it going to be? What has your experience been with Christmas gifts? Well, probably most of us can bow back to the time of childhood, and I certainly remember that as being a time of delight. And I also remember as a kid hoping and hoping that there were going to be certain things under the tree on Christmas Day. And I remember those times when those things materialized, and also those times when they did not. I remember the first time my aunt took me out Christmas shopping to purchase something for my mother and my father and my sister. And that was a big deal the first time I did that. I also remember those packages under the tree that had the shape of the dreaded shirt box. You know what I'm talking about. It meant clothing. And sometimes that clothing was stuff that you would never, ever wear. And the older I got, the more complicated things seemed to become. Trying to find the right thing, participating in all of the frenzy that surrounds the shopping. And then you were wondering, did I get the right thing? Is it what the person really wanted? Well, friends, it is expected that Americans this year are going to spend somewhere around $680 billion, and that's with a B, billion dollars on holiday purchases this year. That comes out to a little over $2,000 per woman, man, and child. How are you doing on that? It's a little mind-boggling, isn't it? Well, as I was pondering this sermon series this year for Advent, the line, "All I want for Christmas," started to emerge. Now, some of you might hear that line and you'll think of the lyric in Mariah Carey singing, "All I Want for Christmas Is You." Some of us who are older might smile and think of the lyric, "All I want for Christmas is my two front teeth." Well, it got me thinking, what do I really want for Christmas? What do I need for Christmas? I suspect that what we want and what we need are often two different things. And while there are certainly lots of things that most of us would like to have, we probably will not need the majority of the gifts that we receive. What we really need, friends, are those intangibles that the birth of the Christ represents for us. Hope, peace, joy, love. So each week during this Advent season, it's an opportunity for all of us to reflect on these four, what I believe are amazing gifts that we are given by God and that we celebrate during the season of Advent as we work together to prepare for Christmas Day. Well, today, as was indicated during the lighting of our Advent wreath, and we want to thank James, little James, for the commentary today too, isn't that? I love that. I just love that. Well, our focus, as we know, is on hope. A few weeks ago, we were considering the ancient prophets of Israel and Judah and their messages of doom and gloom. Well, strangely enough, the Hebrew prophets were also, on occasion, purveyors of words of profound hope, which guided our ancient counterparts, and the same hope that resonates for us today. Jeremiah, we might remember, bought a field because of his hope for the future. Isaiah, in our morning text, is the place we often turn because of the words of hope that are associated with the coming of the Messiah. Comfort my people. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. These are hardly the words of someone who would intimate that it is all over, that there is no future. Instead, Isaiah acknowledged that Jerusalem had paid a dear price and things were going to be different. Now, we're not talking a little bit different here. but something that is more equivalent to the shift of tectonic plates. Remember the words, the roads. The crooked roads will be made straight. The rough places will be smooth. The valleys will be lifted up. The hills will be lowered. The uneven ground will be leveled. Now, for those of us here who live in earthquake country, these geological metaphors have some meaning for us, don't they? We have seen the ground shift. And these words of Isaiah, they speak of a new order, a complete change, if you will, of our topography. The coming of the Messiah, as announced by the one who would be crying in the wilderness, well, that coming would be a game changer. Now, of course, we do need to acknowledge the fact that Judaism and Christianity have interpreted these texts in different ways. The messianic hope is yet to be realized for Judaism. Christian theology and tradition, on the other hand, believes that it is in Jesus of Nazareth that this prophecy of the hope for one was fulfilled, that Jesus is the Messiah. And friends, that's our reality. That is our inherited tradition. And because of that, we work with it. But even with conflicting interpretations, there is no doubt that in this text, the people of God were given a marvelous word of hope. The leveling of the land, or the leveling of the playing field, as we sometimes like to say. And yeah, that's a good thing, because we're still a little bit in football season. You did notice that USC beat Stanford, correct? Well, that leveling could be interpreted that the obstacles that are between God's purposes for us and God's grace being fully realized, those obstacles would be removed once and for all. Nothing, not the highest mountain, not the lowest valley, not the roughest stretch of land could get in the way of God's hope for this world. Now, I don't know about you, but a big dose of hope would be an absolutely amazing gift to receive for the time and the place in which we live. We never seem to be able to escape the discord that exists in the human family. Nations continue to be at war, or they continue to threaten war. Political leaders represent the full spectrum, from people who yearn to do the right thing to those who are morally bankrupt and use their power solely for their own benefit. While a portion of God's children have freedom of self-determination and prosperity, many more do not. The sobering thought here is that this situation, friends, is not all that dissimilar for the one that existed at the time of the prophet. Not much has changed. So that being the case, where does the word of hope come from today? Where is it we are to place our belief and our trust? Well, it was this week that the boxes of Christmas decorations came out of the basement and the garage and the closets at the parsonage. Now, for those of you that know, that's not a minor thing. Everything but the tree, which is going to come up next week, is set up in the home. And my count this year indicated that there are over 100 representations of the Nativity of Jesus. Now, I know that some of you might consider that a bit excessive. But collections are collections, and it's only up for 1 month of the year. But every year that task is a little bit daunting at the front end. But once the process begins, at least for me, it starts to become a somewhat spiritual event. You see, each creche, each nativity scene is different. Different materials, different artists. Some are mass-produced, others are one of a kind. Some are expensive, some are inexpensive. Every single one of them has a memory attached. Perhaps it was a special trip or a gift that was received from family and friends. And when I look at all of those, I realize that the 37 years of collecting them have seen many hills and many valleys. It's seen easy times, but it has also been deeply challenging times. But every time, every year I set these depictions of the birth into their place, I am awestruck. I am awestruck by the hope that they represent. Because every single one of them point toward that ancient story of a birth which has changed our world and by extension has changed us. And this is not fantasy, folks. This is a fact. We have been changed because of that birth so long ago. The hope that is represented in the proposition of the Christ child in Jesus' life is unparalleled. It is a gift of immeasurable proportions. What we do with that gift, however, can be another story. You see, Jesus represented a hope that was all about justice, that was all about peace. It was all about ending the disenfranchisement of God's beloved children. It was not the gift of a tool to be used to manipulate, to despoil, to disenfranchise, or establish categories of second-class citizens. And unfortunately for some, it has been twisted and it has been contorted to become the tool of discord and a basis for political clout and power. Suffice it to say, this is a morally bankrupt use of the gift of hope and has nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with Jesus' example and with Jesus' teaching. Because of Jesus, because of the hope that he can represent to us, we have the tool we need. We have the tool to move and look beyond the right now, to focus on the what can be. This hope is what I believe drives our faith communities. It should be what drives our faith communities. And I believe it is the message of hope that causes each of us to want to return week after week, because in our heart, we know that it is only in Christ, only in God's love, that we find the real hope. Friends, we have a great gift. Is it a gift that we are willing to share with others? This faith community here that we call Westwood, I believe it's a community that is unapologetic for being followers of Jesus. It is our core. It is the identity of who we are. We practice, we teach, we preach the belief that by following his example and by following his teaching, we touch on that which our human family really needs. And that teaching, as we keep rehearsing, is very basic: the love of God and the love of neighbor. And when we live that out, friends, we know that hope abounds. So when you're thinking about the gifts that you will give this year, what about the gift of hope? It could very well be that what you experience here could make a profound difference in someone else's life. Wouldn't that be a perfect gift? Let's face it, friends, we need hope. We need hope in large doses. And maybe when we think about the statement, "All I want for Christmas," we might complete it by saying, "All I want for Christmas is hope." And that, friends, is the gift that God so generously bestows. What do you think? Amen.
Westwood United Methodist Church is located at 10497 Wilshire Boulevard in Los Angeles, between Westwood Village and Beverly Hills. Sundays are at the heart of this faith community's life, and we invite you to worship every Sunday at 10 a.m. A wide variety of opportunities for all ages are also available every week. To learn more, visit us on the web at www.westwoodumc.org or call the church office at area code 310 877-474-4511. I'm Janet Hoskins. Westwood United Methodist Church. Do justice, love kindness, walk humbly with God.